Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
All year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two on Friday. And certainly appreciate Braden Gall, 440 Sports, Athlons, etc., joining us. Sirius XM Radio. Braden Gall joining us in hour one. We bounced around with some of these open quarterback jobs in the SEC. David Lake coming off a full 2 hours and 20 minutes with Miami football yesterday, all the periods. David Lake came on inside the U, talked Miami and the good news about the depth chart, some of the spots that we don't necessarily have questions about, but we still feel good even a little further down the row. Specifically quarterback, and then some of the spots where you're looking at going, yeah, I need you to emerge, like linebacker, for instance. So appreciate them coming on. If you missed either of the interviews, maybe you heard it and want to hear it again. I'm a Miami fan. What did David say about whom? Leonard Taylor? You can get the app. The app is free. It's the Southern Sports Today app, and you can go online to SouthernSportsToday.com, and you can get the show there as well. You can listen to it many times as you want. It is magic. It's free, and you can listen to it over and over. So that's what that is in hour one. Kevin Noon's coming up in about 10 minutes, and we're going to talk Buckeyes. He is basically in charge of – he's a writer. He's the podcaster, the video. He films everything, you name it, BuckeyeHuddle.com. And then bottom of the hour, one of my favorite guests, Matt Jones. We got beef at Kentucky right now, I believe. There's an issue up there, and we'll get into this. And I find most of this stuff rather silly, but I do – because it's just words, folks. And when I say I find most of this stuff rather silly, I'm not saying I'm highfalutin and I'm above it all. Let me give you an example of this stuff that I find silly. We're DBU. No, you're not. All right. Have your conversation, but don't get angry about it. And if you're a Florida fan and you assist your DBU, and why does that LSU fan think he's DBU? And the LSU fan's like, wait a minute, I was arguing about wide receiver you with Clemson. What did you say, Florida fan? If you want to have fun and it's per conversation, that's great. Everybody claims Middle Tennessee is defensive back university. Good enough for me. I don't care about all that necessarily. But there is beef at Kentucky right now, and the issue involves, I got to be honest, I understand what the man was saying, but if you did not see, there is an issue right now with Mark Stoops and with John Calipari. And the issue is that John Calipari, Dan, I did not say, I want to bring Dan Matthews in. I did not think that this was overly provocative if you just left it in a fishbowl. John Calipari, the head coach at Kentucky, I think the quote was, Georgia's a football school, Kentucky's a basketball school. There was more to it, but is that the thread here?
Yeah, I mean, there have been people trying to carry the water for Calipari and saying, here's the context to it all. But it is what he said. He's not wrong, but yes. I can understand Mark Stoops feeling the way that he does.
And so after John Calipari, quote, Kentucky's a basketball school, which – Dan, who has no dog in this fight, he just said the same thing I did. You got to pause first. And you got to make a sound. Yeah, it's true. When you pause and make the sound and then say, yeah, it's true, you know you're about to say, but you don't say it. There's a lot of things that are true that you don't necessarily sign your name to and hand in to your boss. Hey, saw your wife at the party the other night. Yeah, you don't sign your name to that and hand it to your boss. So John Calipari, this was The Athletic. This is where I saw it. Calipari said Kentucky's a basketball school, and he's tired of waiting around for upgraded facilities. This is a basketball school. Always been that. All right, stop. Dan, Stop me when I get to the provocative part. This is a basketball school, always been that. Alabama's a football school, so is Georgia. I mean, they are. No disrespect to our football team. I hope they win 10 games, go to bowls. At the end of the day, that makes my job easier, makes the job of all of us easier. But this is a basketball school, so we need to keep moving in that direction, keep doing what we're doing. There are a lot of things in life that are true that you don't necessarily need to sign your name to and turn in. And that's basically what he did here. Now, Mark Stoops, he's in a corner. Mark Stoops, it's almost like, you know, you're at a restaurant and somebody insults your wife. There are times where you kind of look at your wife and you give them that, do I need to get involved? Like, hands up, like, you need me? Believe my wife don't need me. She's as big as a hood ornament. She'll take care of herself. But then there are times you're like, no, you wait, I ain't going. Mark Stoops on Twitter. Basketball school, I thought we competed in the SEC. Hashtag four straight postseason wins. It wasn't all that, folks. The point he is making, which Mark Stoops has no choice, you have to respond and say something at that, and he probably struck the right tone there where he didn't call out his coach, he didn't turn it into beef, he didn't turn it into who we're fighting at one point, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. Yeah, didn't turn it into that. He just responded and kind of chest out, stood up for his kids. So we got beef at Kentucky. This is what qualifies as beef. We have it. It's not a big deal, but for some Kentucky people, I can promise you it's a big deal. Are you basketball? Does it matter? Call yourself whatever you want to. What Calipari says about Alabama, are they a football school? Yep. Would the basketball coach have to respond? I don't know if Kirby Smart said, look, I want to play my games where I want to play my games. We're Georgia. We're a football school. No disrespect to the Gym Dogs. Are they the Gym Dogs? No, that's the gymnastics team, right? To the basketball team. But we're a football school. It wouldn't be very conciliatory. It wouldn't be very warm fuzzy, but it wouldn't be wrong. So don't argue with the message from Calipari. You can argue about the taste and the choice of saying it. Now, here is the real dangerous part for Calipari. And he's better than this. And actually, he knows this. He didn't say that with any sort of ill will or poison or, you know what? I want us to get us out of the SEC. I want to stop playing. Like, he's not Tulane in the 60s. There was nothing sinister about it. Here is the dangerous part for Calipari, though. When you make a statement like that, and it's actually just blatantly beyond any argument true, and it is, you have to be really responsible with how you use that statement. When something like this is so accurate, like Kirby Smart, he would be right. Like, he could stand up. There are meetings where all the head coaches on campus go to these meetings. You meet with the athletic director, and he or she tells you about new policies and whatever else. There's a chance Kirby could walk in and accurately say, excuse me, I have something to say. All of y'all are on the payroll because of what I'm doing with my job. That would be right. He could look at the tennis coach and the swim coach and the golf coach and the baseball coach and every coach except maybe men's basketball, but maybe. Kirby Smart, in this one example, wouldn't be true everywhere. Georgia, all of y'all are getting paid because of me, so here's what I want. And he could throw weight around, as the phrase goes. It wouldn't be smart to do that. It wouldn't be right to do that. It wouldn't be productive to do that. It wouldn't be anything really positive. Now, Kirby may get extra, and I want 4.5% more funding. Maybe he would get his funding. Wouldn't be worth it. That's sort of like this. He wasn't meaning to go down that road, but he also says this was, you know what shouldn't be happening? And this is what got lost here. The reason he brought it up. Do you know what shouldn't happen? The Kentucky football coach? Different. The Kentucky basketball coach shouldn't be looking around saying, hey, why aren't we spending more money? Why aren't we improving this facility? Why doesn't the basketball team at the University of Kentucky have this advantage, benefit, etc.? The football coach? Maybe. The basketball coach at Kentucky? No. What do you need?
The weird thing is, do you remember when Calipari was at Memphis and Tommy West was on his way out? He said, at Memphis, they give the basketball team everything because we're a basketball school. Well, you can give us some. He wanted carpet. And as I'm recalling, and I may get this wrong, I think it was like maybe 60 grand. Tommy West, quote, it's painful. That's how he said it, I mean. He said, I hope the next guy they bring in here, they at least give the guy a chance. He said, it's painful when I can't even, the basketball team gets everything. I can't even get new carpet. Well, Calipari is now at Kentucky. How about this? Do you know a better way to do this? Instead of even referencing football, bring up when I was at Memphis, of all places, I got new, I don't know, carpet, helicopter, Learjet, whatever. It's Memphis, kind of all in play. When I was at Memphis, I got this stuff. Why can't I get it at Kentucky? Why can't I get it at an SEC school? There was a way to get your point across without getting your point across like this. So there's a little beef, and we'll have, again, my good friend Matt Jones. He'll be coming on bottom of the hour, Kentucky Sports Radio. We're going to break, come back, continue next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Week one, let's see. Notre Dame at Ohio State. All right, works for me. It's a night game. And I believe I'll be at the Oregon-Georgia game in the afternoon. And if that one is decided, which maybe it will be, then you got to plan the day. That's a night game, right? Notre Dame and Ohio State. Yep. And Dan actually going to be up yonder. That's right. He's going to see Bus. Another man who will be in the house as Ohio State. I'm going to try to keep this right. I think there are 7 or 8 practices in, and everybody's full pads and knocking helmets and really getting after it. And you will tilt toward, for some teams, a week and a couple of days from now, you will tilt towards your game day prep. If you're week zero, and then another week after that, it'll be game week for everybody. Want to welcome on now from BuckeyeHuddle.com. It's Kevin Noone. Kevin, how are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you making some time. Let's get out on the field. And I want to talk about the folks behind the superstars because, I mean, it's college football and big-time conference like Big Ten. Folks get knocked around and may miss some time. After C.J. Stroud, because I know what he is, after C.J. Stroud, tell me how the depth chart shakes out because quarterback, as much as anywhere, especially at a place where all they get is 4 stars and 5 stars, it can be some celebrity names coming in, but they also move on the way out. Talk about the depth chart behind Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, they are pretty thin in terms of numbers. Ryan Day has said in the past he'd like to have 4 scholarship quarterbacks. They have 3. They have Kyle McCord, who was a prep star coming out of Philadelphia. He did start one game last season when C.J. Stroud was held out nursing a sore shoulder, if you will. And then they have a true freshman, Devin Brown, who was a four or five star caliber type of player. So, I mean, they've got guys, if for whatever reason, if Devin Brown had to play, that would be a little bit of a scary proposition, somebody who's not that far out of high school, whereas Kyle McCord, he certainly, he's been in there, but I mean, there's a big difference in having to play, potentially in a Notre Dame game than versus, I'm trying to remember who he played against. I believe it was Akron. So, you know, there's a little bit of a difference between those two teams.
All right. Well, let's talk about running backs, because Travion Henderson last year, I think, who did they open it? Was it the Minnesota game? He wasn't the starter, yeah. And he might not have been the first running back off the bench. And then you realized, oh, yeah, he's better than all of them, and he's one of the best in America. All right. We'll talk about the running back depth chart after him, because, again, Ohio State is a place where we're used to seeing another really good option or two or three.
Yeah, and Ohio State does have that depth. And last year, Master Teague was the guy who kind of started the season. He's now out of the program. He's trying to hook on with the Chicago Bears. No, either the Bears or the Steelers. I think it might be the Steelers, actually. But Mayan Williams is their number two, and Mayan Williams is good enough to be a starter probably at a lot of schools out there. I would say behind Wisconsin, Ohio State probably has the best 1-2 punch in terms of running backs. And then they have a talented redshirt freshman in Evan Pryor, somebody who showed a couple flashes last year, but showed also that, you know, he didn't have a senior season in North Carolina. And he was just kind of a weird build-up for everybody coming in. He's, you know, hit the weight room. I think he's a little bit more solid. So they got a nice three-person rotation right there. And then they have a true freshman, Dallin Hayden, out of Memphis, Tennessee as well.
The wide receivers, I think everybody should know at least the first guy, but they really should know the first couple or three or four or beyond that. Harrison and, of course, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Is Emeka Egbuka he's the third guy there, isn't he? Or is he? Because there's no program like Ohio State when it comes to wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, let's just not get caught up in labels there, because, you know, it depends on what Ohio State runs out there. If they go empty and they run a bunch of receivers out there, I mean, you could have multiple guys out there. But yeah, after JSN and Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, you have this next cut with Emeka Egbuka. You have Julian Fleming, who was a top receiver in his class, who's dealt with a lot of injuries. But, you know, we had a chance to watch practice on Thursday, and he looked pretty good out there. You have a guy from the state of Ohio who maybe has been looked over by a lot of people, Jaden Ballard, a tall receiver. I think that he could do some things this year. And you have Cam Babb, and he's somebody who has been in the program for multiple years, has had multiple ACL injuries, I mean, both knees. He's healthy right now, and he's a team leader. It would not surprise me if he were awarded the Block O jersey, which means he'd get to wear the number zero for the Buckeyes as being a team leader. You know, he may be able to roll out there. And I take Ohio State fans back a couple years ago to Johnny Dixon. He was another player who had a lot of injuries early in his career and then managed to salvage his career and have a, you know, pretty good run at the end. So that's the hope with Cam Babb. And then, of course, a ton of recruits as well. So, you know, Ohio State is just loaded at the position.
Jump up front and tell me if you agree. First five, I'm like, maybe the best in the game. Second five, you better not have many injuries. How is the depth there?
You know, I think that they're good at 6 and 7. I think they're getting there to 8 right now. They had some misses in terms of offensive line recruiting. It's, you know, it's what it is. I mean, and it's a difficult position to project. You know, they made a change at offensive line coach going into this season, bringing in Justin Fry from UCLA. And, you know, they're trying to get the most out of the guys that they can. I mean, I think 1 through 5, they're right there. And I know Ohio State fans won't like me saying this, but, you know, Michigan has a very solid offensive line as well, too. I think those are going to be some of your best lines in the nation right there. But, you know, what happens when you get past, you know, Enoch Vimahi, and you get past some of these, you know, you're 6 and 7. Where did things stand at that point? You know, if you're down to your 10th lineman, you know, you're probably in trouble as it is.
Oh, I mean, anybody would be, yeah. Trouble.
Yeah, and not anybody can sit there and say, oh, we're truly 10 deep. So I think, you know, I think if Ohio State in these last couple weeks of camp can really feel comfortable about an 8th guy, that's about the best you can hope for at this point. You want to make sure you have somebody that can snap the ball. You want to make sure that you've got somebody that can play tackle, and you want to make sure you've got somebody that can play guard. And then everything else is just moving the chess pieces around.
BuckeyeHuddle.com is the place. It is Kevin Noon, Kevin_Noon on Twitter. And last thing for you, if we look back last year, my gosh, what happened to the Clemson offense? And you can identify it. Well, the offensive line wasn't quite as good, and they had an injury here, and then the freshman running back had to, you know, all the stuff. If the Ohio State offense doesn't score 55 or even more, or like, I don't know, push LSU in 2019, greatest ever, something, if this is a season with fits and starts on offense, what does that look like? Like, beyond an injury to C.J. Stroud, what could cause there to be a disconnect? Because I've been trying to find one, and it looks about as guaranteed as it is.
This is what could hold the offense down, and that's if the defense gets significantly better, because at that point, Ohio State's not having to go out there and keep its ones out there and keep throwing haymakers. If you sit there and you're at the start of the third quarter and you're up 38-3 and you bring your twos out and you're not necessarily running your A material at that point, the scoring average could go down just as a result of that. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that we're going to see a 300% increase in what Ohio State's defense is going to be able to do, but I think that if games are not as competitive because the defense is able to hold teams much more in check, we may not see C.J. Stroud certainly in the fourth quarter of a lot of games, probably not even to the midway point of the third quarter. And that's not taking anything away from the twos, but we know how vanilla you end up going when you pull the guys. So, I think a matter of Ohio State's success could be the thing that could keep its scoring numbers down. But, I think we're looking way ahead in terms of that.
All right. Great stuff, man. I appreciate you coming on today. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Again, Kevin Noone and Buckeye Huddle is just a great site there. And I'm just wondering, it could be as productive as any offense in college football history. Now, there's a lot that goes into that. And Kevin kind of went, and I said, what if that doesn't happen? Like Clemson last year, their defense is fantastic. The offense is supposed to be the same thing. And so Kevin said, well, what if the defense is a little better? Maybe you don't have to score. See, that is always part of the projection. And it doesn't necessarily matter where you finish in scoring offense, scoring defense, rushing yards allowed, whatever. It can all be, there's context to what you were trying to get done or who your opponents were, or, injuries or whatever else. But that's Ohio State's way out this year. Their way out of not even making the playoffs. That this is Ohio State's way back to what the Buckeyes are. Is score 47 a game versus, hey, made big leaps on defense. Really? How many points? 17 a game. If Ohio State gives up 17 points a game, I'll roll a peanut from here to C-Bus with my nose. All right? That's just not going to happen. So their way out is to put 47 up every Saturday. And, folks, they may do that. Whenever you're looking at this, whether it's a fantasy football deal like with the NFL or on a daily fantasy thing, how's the defense? That always figures into whatever your opinion of the offense is on an individual day. Well, certainly over the course of the season. So I've baked that in, not expecting it to be a huge improvement defensively. There's talent and it'll be better, but there were just too many Saturdays where there were guys running around in uniforms that we recognized. And it's got to be so much better for that, and it absolutely can. Now, as they go through the season after that Notre Dame game, assuming they do get the dub, I think that's going to be one of their best friends as well, is getting a lot of credit for beating a Notre Dame team that could finish 11-1 and actually get left out of the playoffs because of a potential rematch with the Buckeyes. So it's going to look real, real, real nice for Ohio State come playoff resume time, I believe.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Kentucky's getting ready for the SEC season just like everybody else in the conference.
but they got beef.
I told you from afar, and that's what it is, because I'm not a Kentucky grad fan, booster, anything like that. Don't even cover them on the beat. But from afar, I said, this is something that, while accurate, there's a lot of stuff that's true. It's just not a good idea to say. And so Calipari, if you look at the entire context of his comments, it's not inaccurate in any way. It's just one of those things you're like, yeah, you told Mark Stoops his baby's ugly. And it's not ugly. In fact, I say Kentucky is probably, in my opinion, the most sustainable really good spot that they've been in. Folks, in a minute, I'll leave it at that. Maybe go back to Rich Brooks. Want to welcome on right now. Guy who can give us the full context and what the local fan base thought about the comments. Host of Kentucky Sports Radio, 40 affiliates throughout the state. Also ESPN Radio, published author, you name it. It's Matt Jones. How you doing, brother?
I'm great. How are you, Chuck? I tell you what was easy today, and that was doing my show, because all you had to do was say, all right, here we go, and everybody had an opinion.
Yeah, phones are open. Sometimes they do the job for you. I walked that line. I was like, yeah, I get what he was saying overall, but he probably shouldn't have said it. But it wasn't untrue, and Mark Stoops is kind of in a position where you got to say something, and you just hope that Mark Stoops' reaction didn't become the real story, and he handled it properly. I think this is much ado about nothing, and let's get back to practice.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I mean, I think it's a big deal. I think it's, the thing is, you got two guys with big egos, big personalities, and Calipari's view, this is what Cal's view is. Look, in the last few years, you've built a football practice facility, a baseball stadium, yep, a track and field complex, all this stuff. I need a new practice facility, and this is a basketball place. Basketball runs this school. How have we not built this? Well, I would say it is true it's a basketball place. It's true it's a basketball school. And maybe it's true they need a practice facility. But all the other stuff that's been built has nothing to do with that. I mean, Kentucky had the worst football facilities in the country for a while. It was fine for them to try to make that better. Stoops looks at it and says, look, get your practice facility. We want you to have it. But don't downgrade us in the process. And I think what especially made it bad, Chuck, is the mention of Georgia, because Kentucky realizes that the hill they have to climb is Georgia. They've beaten Florida,
yep,
two of the last 3 years. They've beaten Tennessee two of the last 4 years, which I know that's not great, but, like, they hadn't beaten those teams in 30 years. So they know the last sort of mountain to climb is Georgia. And when you say Georgia's a football school and you're not, in a year where Kentucky believes, whether it happens or not, who knows, but they believe that they can play Georgia at the end of the year at home with a chance to go to the SEC championship game. You just can't say that, and I think that's what made Stoops mad. So I disagree with you. It's much ado about nothing. I think it reflects an overall frustration that the football program has, and I think it also expresses the frustration Cal has, which is I shouldn't have to beg for a practice facility, and Stoops saying, yeah, but don't act like we haven't done something here. And by the way, football pays the bills.
Oh, absolutely. And I was contrasting it with remember the Tommy West exit interview, the exit press conference in Memphis, where he's like, Calipari gets everything he always wants. I just wanted carpet, and they told me no. There's a lot going on with practice on the field right now, and that's why I wanted to have you on as well. It's like, we'll get the local view of this. We'll have Matt Jones on. A lot going on the practice field right now. I did want to ask you about one oddity, because we've still got 2.5 weeks for the season, 3 weeks almost for the season. We talked a lot about the Florida-Kentucky series and how Kentucky hadn't beat them since, I think it was 86 or so, and then they got the dub a couple of seasons ago. Do you think most people realize what the record over the last probably 35 years or almost 40 years in Kentucky-Tennessee is? Because Tennessee hasn't played consistently at the same level that Florida has, not for all of that time. Is it like 3-32 or so?
Yeah, but, I mean, Tennessee was really damn good during most of that. I mean, like, you know, I know that they haven't been great in the last
decade. The last decade plus, yeah.
Yeah, but remember that until 4 years ago, Kentucky was awful. I mean, Kentucky, you could argue that 12 years ago when Joker was the coach is the worst Kentucky's ever been.
I agree with that.
So, you know, I mean, like, I don't think you can look, there's a lot of heartbreaking losses in those games. I mean, a lot of last play losses. The amount of times Kentucky should have beaten Tennessee and didn't is a ton. But I actually think what's more impressive is what Kentucky has done, not just against Tennessee, but overall in the last 4 years. I mean, the reality is SEC wins. Kentucky has the fourth most SEC wins in the last 4 years. I don't know if people realize that, but they do. And people don't sort of think about it like that, but it's true. You know, Kentucky won 10 games two of the last four seasons. We hadn't won 10 games since 1977. So, I mean, I think there's a huge – what's different about this is Kentucky is consistently good. They're not going to be bad any season, at least in the near future. And that's what's different for the Cats as opposed to, you know, they had a good year with Tim Couch. They had a good year with Andre Woodson. They had, you know, they have these occasional good years. But now they've had four straight years where when you play Kentucky, whoever you are, you could lose. And that is what is different.
Yeah, and there are a couple of measuring sticks that I've seen the Kentucky program either inching towards or getting towards, or they're there now. It used to be, all right, does it matter where the game is? And sometimes it still matters, but it doesn't always matter where the game is against a particular opponent. The other thing is replacing departing NFL players with future NFL players. They're not replacing a Josh Allen. Most places don't, but he certainly has upgraded. I mean, you know, quality out, quality in, no doubt about it. Matt, appreciate you coming on today. We'll talk to you again for the season. Appreciate you bringing the local perspective, brother.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. So, like I said, there's a lot better way to get your point across. And here's what always gets left out. And I'm talking about Calipari and the way that Ed, he went about it. So there's a lot better ways to get across. Here's what a lot of times does not get included. When we say, should have handled it behind closed doors. A lot of times you're right. A lot of times it's already been addressed behind closed doors. When you hear a player complaining about playing time, now you go straight to the coach. Well, sometimes he did. Now, it's still a bad look to go, was it Ajay Hall? He's in the news today. The former Alabama wide receiver who's at Texas now. And I saw he got arrested for criminal mischief. It was something silly, not even worth mentioning. It was between either the value of what he took or the damage he caused or whatever. It was between $100 and $750. Ajay Hall will figure it out. Ajay Hall was complaining about playing time last October. A freshman wide receiver at Alabama was complaining about playing time publicly. Like, he tweeted some stuff about it. That's not the way to improve your playing time, especially for Nick Saban. I understand that. So not the best way to go about it. And it didn't result in what he wanted. He didn't play a whole lot, really, until the national championship game when they had to. So you're thinking about, all right, well, how to get my message across? The thing with Calipari, I'm assuming, you know, Ajay Hall, maybe he did address that behind closed doors, and then he went public, and it was still wrong. But we always say, oh, you should have done that in private. Maybe they did. Maybe they did a second time. Maybe they did a third time. There are occasions when somebody goes public with something that it is the fifth or sixth or seventh reaction, or it's the final reaction. So, like I said, with Calipari, it's just a poor idea the way. But maybe he is at his wit's end. I've tried everything. I've won a national championship, et cetera. And Mark Stoops is kind of in a position where he's forced to respond with something. And so I think he did it in about the best way you could. Just talked about himself and kind of let the basketball team out of for the most part. So appreciate Matt Jones coming on. Again, as they're trying to get ready for a season where, as he said, they won 10 games twice. They're probably the second best team in the East as just an overarching statement right now. But especially for folks looking for maybe a potential upset over the Georgia Bulldogs on a particular Saturday or certainly for the season, Kentucky is a place where they're looking.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
He's at the top notch level, and I've seen nothing but that since day one. And like you said, you know, you see the difference in people. You see the difference on the field, off the field, you know, how people are feeling. It's professional. That's what it is. You know, they treat everything here top notch, so it's been great.
I believe his actual name has become Big Ol' Will Mallory. He is Big Ol' Will Mallory. 6'5", by 250, and he can move a little bit. He's got good hands. I say he can move a little bit. He's an NFL guy, and he is back for another season. And I'm going to try to remember. Let's see, how many seasons did I give Big Ol' Will Mallory playing for Miami? 20 didn't count. 21... All right, so he's going to wind up being a version of a senior this year. He'll be a fifth-year player. I am wondering if 18 counted, because he only had five catches. And I don't know the game log there, but I can get that. So he's into his fifth season. And by the way, it's inconsequential. He's going to be in the NFL after this year. So Big Ol' Will Mallory talking about what's up with Miami and understanding that he is now playing. He played in three games in 2018, so that could be a red shirt. So 19. 20 didn't exist. 21. He's a, by classification, a fifth-year redshirt junior. And this phenomenon will, again, work itself out of the system in another couple of seasons. But so far, it's still working its way out of the system. So Big Ol' Will Mallory, again, NFL guy. And he is back for another year after he could have entered the NFL draft. And he is talking about the differences there at Miami. Well, my gosh, you should know. The reason I was going back and, you know, documenting, all right, he was here. And folks, this is his third head coach. Two head coaches. Good for you if you play your whole career. And Coach Urban Meyer was there the entire time. Bless for you. Plenty of guys, yeah, and then after my freshman year or after my junior year or after my red shirt or whatever, then the coaching change. Whether you're still there, but I'm talking about a kid who actually hangs around because Will Mallory, he went to Miami in 2018, and he's still there now. So I'm talking in that scenario where you stay, but the coaches change. Folks, you don't have three head coaches. Will Mallory's got three head coaches. He's really good, and he did not get nearly the production that he should have, I'll say last year, but honestly, for his career. Now, he has not been, who was it? Brevin Jordan was the other tight end there, and he's a big old stud as well. But his production has gone up each year, whatever. It's not just about the numbers with him. Because, again, in the NFL, remember, it's not the numbers. Even if you have posted numbers, if he had 83 catches in a season, you go, okay, well, let's look at these. It's not just the numbers. It's how you get those numbers. And so not having numbers doesn't necessarily eliminate you. Oh, I can promise. Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Friday. My school got it right. And they're also, now they're really getting it right. And that's tomorrow. Chuck, what are you talking about? Y'all know my school. I'm an Auburn grad. And I do try to, you know, play fair off the top of the deck and all that and just give you fair evaluation. But I think this is awesome. And it's not just Auburn, the first part, okay? But I think this is awesome. And it's a little bit, gosh, I don't want to overspeak. I don't want to say trend. It's a little bit of a trend. I'm going to say it. It's a little bit of a trend, and I like it, and it's good. Even though it's not perfect, folks, I promise you, this is good. Said, my school gets it right. If you want to go online or if you, I don't know folks in the media, text them, call them, do whatever. The media that covers the Auburn Tigers allowed 25 minutes of practice access yesterday and has been a bit of a norm. Now, when I say the media was allowed 25 minutes, it's the first 25 minutes. That's five. I was reading a summary, and after the first interval, I'm like, it's called a practice period, dude. It's practice after the first period. So the media was allowed 25 minutes at Auburn practice yesterday, and that wasn't the first time. It's sort of a thing. It's the first 25 minutes. That's five practice periods. That's the air horn. And then you see everybody like run to a different area on the field. That's a practice. All right, and then you look up. When you hear the air horn, do you know what you can see? Like right after you hear the air horn, if you look wherever the appropriate place is on the practice field, do you know what you see? You see somebody flipping over a laminated card that, like, it said period 04, now it says 05. Or it said 13, now it says 14. We're in period 14, and every coach can look down on his or her card and say, all right, period 14, we're doing this. That's the air horn, and that's the practice periods. So somewhere the tally of what the period is around a practice field. So Brian Harsin has decided, now this is the first part of it, I say he gets it right. He's letting the media into practice, I'll say, several times. And again, it's only 25 minutes, and they're out there like 2 hours and 15. And it's the first 25, which is not the most revealing or indicative 25. Do you know what the first 5 periods are? Some of it is drills. Now, some of it is group work. You have group work, which, what does that mean? Well, group work, well, here are all the running backs. They're in group work. Here are all the defensive linemen. They're in group work. Then you have teamwork. What's teamwork? Well, all the offensive team is here. The defensive team's over there. Then everybody comes together and you get some 1 versus 1, 11 on 11, things like that. So you got all these different things, and so you got to know where you are. It's not the most revealing, but 5 periods ain't bad, especially, Dan, I have to assume there were times you were in, because he covered Georgia for like 5 years. There were times you were in Athens or other places where if you got anywhere near the practice field, like you started getting the stink eye. I mean, you walk anywhere near, like South Carolina, back, and I say this about Steve Spurrier, if you could like see through the opening between the chain links where the coverings weren't, there's dark green coverings, like maybe you could, folks, it was tough. They didn't want you anywhere near it. Virginia Tech, eh, go to the top of the hill near the basketball arena, you look down. But some places, they don't want you anywhere near it. And Kirby, that had been one of the big complaints, especially last year when you could still fall back on that COVID thing. Sorry, COVID, no access. Was that the bowl game or was that the semifinal game? Like people were on their way to the Orange Bowl. Sorry, y'all can't come over here.
Yeah, semifinals. They were, I think, if not on the bus, about to get on the bus when the playoffs sent out. Yeah, hey, COVID, we can't have people.
They didn't want the media
200
there.
Yards away from the action.
So that's what practice is. So, again, it's 5 periods, and it ain't bad. Now, the agreement is, Dan, you've heard this, right? The agreement is we'll let you into practice. This is kind of a standard thing now. Just don't report on who's not at practice. Don't report on an injury you see, et cetera. So you get in for the first 25 minutes. You get some 411 to produce. Folks, I'm not kidding. If you're a beat writer, if you're covering a team for a website or a newspaper traditionally, but you see the first 25 minutes, you've got about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours before you see the coach. You need to produce at least 2 digital items and send them in while waiting for the rest of practice to take place. Okay, that's the get it right. Do you know when they really get it right? Saturday, tomorrow, dress rehearsal. And second time the fans are allowed to come around and watch, and it's something kind of cool. And they're going to have the fan zone and all that stuff, which honestly, I don't know. If I say they're going to have a fan zone set up outside, you know, everybody knows the 4 things of the fan zone. There's a bouncy house. There's face painting. What else is at the fan zone? The mascot will show up. By the way, I haven't looked at this. I just saw that Auburn had a fan zone. Here's the one thing. Do you know what the wild card is? That can take it from just normal experience, like the SEC fan experience down at the World Congress Center. It's the same stuff every time. They're going to be lining that up outside of Auburn tomorrow as well. So they get it right with the media being able to go onto the practice field, watch for 25 minutes. Like I said, it's 5 periods. Not the most revealing 5 periods, but it ain't bad. And then tomorrow all the fans get to show up if they want to. And like I said, it's sort of a dress rehearsal for the season, which not everybody's doing right now. Dan, how are you today?
You also forgot the obstacle course, too. You know, the bags also running through the
where they put the harness on you and you try to go forward as far as possible.
And then, you know,
it's all fan zone stuff,
yeah,
folks. It's the same everywhere.
The ball pit or whatever they have there at the end for you to be able to dive into the end zone. Yeah, that's what is also part of it. The other thing as well is, I mean, God, you're bringing back some memories. I mean, during that 5 minutes, you usually get what? That's fastball, indie, stretching, too, as well. You're only going out there to take attendance.
That's exactly the first five periods, like I said, it's better than nothing. But if you've ever been to a full football practice, you're like, ain't the best five periods.
Although Lane opened up practice the entire first week for Ole Miss, so they had that going for them, which was nice. I want to go back to Will Mallory and, you know, David, I'm not going to have you re-rack the cut, but it's a feature, not a bug, whenever a coach takes over a program, because I think a lot of people look at it and say, oh my gosh, you know, players are leaving, players are transferring out. That's what the coach wants, because he's trying to figure out who can as opposed to who won't. And you made a coaching change for a reason, because you're trying to change the culture of your program, and that's exactly what Miami has needed for the longest time. They've had players in that program. That hasn't been a problem. What has been a problem is consistent success in trying to reach that level of success for some time. And players like Will Mallory are saying, yeah, I want this. Like, if you're being tougher on us, that's what we want. We don't want to have the same old, because the same old is 7-5, 8-4. I'm tired of going 7-5, 8-4. I want the worst to be 9-3, 10-2. That's what Miami is trying to strive for. And that's what he's saying that Mario is trying to build up right now as part of that culture in Coral Gables.
I got to tell you that when it comes to Mario down there in Miami, he is one of the few coaches around America that he can just travel in the local city area. I mean, like city limits. And fill virtually every scholarship with a player worthy of being at that school. Now, FIU can do it as well, but FIU, that's a different level. FAU can do it. That's a different level. I'm talking about Power 5 Miami and for where Miami is. There are areas you look at, and you, three words for you. Literally, I got three words. Figure it out. Figure it out, folks. And Mario appears to be doing a better job of that than at least a couple of his predecessors. But again, he hadn't coached a game yet down there. All right, wraps it up on this Friday. Wraps it up for the week. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, David. Thank you to all the guests, everybody listening. A couple of days, I will recharge those batteries. Be back Monday with more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon background screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.